95 BFM News election coverage 2020, environment.
A hot topic last election, with Gareth Morgan as the former leader of the Opportunities Party, was cats. It's not getting much attention this election cycle, but is still a massive problem, as I found out when I spoke to Jessie Morgan from Predator Free, who I didn't realise until after I spoke to her, is the daughter of the former TOP leader. Now, Gareth was calling for the eradication of even domestic cats, which is quite an extreme view. The outcome of my chat with Jessie was that it would be more realistic to focus on targeting feral cats while promoting responsible ownership of house cats. It's important to realise when we talk about cats, there are three categories, which Jessie succinctly explains.
So a feral cat is a cat that doesn't have any reliance on humans for its survival. So it lives alone in remote areas away from being fed by humans or sheltered by humans. So it lives in the bush. So that's a feral cat. A stray cat can rely on humans, but still lives in the wild, really, but relies on humans for maybe shelter or feeding. So a stray cat might be a barn cat, say, or in Auckland, I know there's quite a few stray cat colonies where people go and feed the cats, but they're actually living on their own. They're not necessarily getting health care or anything like that. The stray cats are there on their own. And then obviously an owned and domestic cat are the cats that live inside with us and are fed and loved and taken to the vet and all that kind of stuff. So there's kind of three categories of cats.
To give an idea of the problem they pose to our native wildlife, in 2010 in Ohakune, one feral cat killed at least 102 native bats in the space of 7 days. And a news story from this year found a feral cat with 17 native lizards in its stomach. But it's not just the feral cats to blame. A household cat in Eastbourne, Wellington, destroyed 7 nests of the endangered dotterel bird last breeding season by eating eggs and killing chicks, single-handedly frustrating the only breeding site in the Wellington Harbour for the second year running. To get a better idea of the threats feral cats pose to our native wildlife, I decided to call another expert on the topic who has experience trapping them firsthand.
Shall I press this for speaker now? It's not on speaker, is it?
My granddad, Alan Wild.
Okay, you're on speaker now.
He is an ex-farmer and environmental enthusiast who plants native trees and traps pests on his land in the Wairarapa. He's a bird lover and, importantly, not a cat hater. In fact, my grandparents owned cats in the past when I was a kid. However, concerned by the increasing number of cats he was catching on his property and lack of media coverage on the issue, he wrote into Forest and Bird magazine and had an article published earlier this year about his experience.
Well, it's been an increasing problem since we've been here. We've been on this property about 15 years, and I've been trapping for about 12, I suppose. And the first going off, I just caught just the odd cat here and there. But it started increasing, and now it's quite likely that I would catch maybe 2 cats in a day some days.
Alan was motivated by his concern for the threat these cats pose to our native fauna.
It seems that there's such cat lovers in this country that they seem to overlook the fact that these are the supreme killers in the animal world. And as such, they catch whatever they can out in the wild. And unfortunately, much of it is our wildlife, skinks and geckos, wetters, small birds, eggs, of course, our precious waders in the wide river beds, black stilts and so on. It's a massive, massive problem to try and contain cats that can travel up to 5 kilometres in a night hunting.
He further outlines the problem with the lack of response.
It's come to light that there are now 2.4 million feral cats in the country. Well, you can't ignore those sort of numbers. And it's silly to try to. I think there are only 1.2 or 1.4 million domestic cats. It's a big problem that's evolving. And until this stage, nobody really has taken control of it. Amateurs like myself are catching a few cats in our traps, and that's about as far as it goes.
Jessie Morgan highlights another important threat posed by feral cats to farmers and what is being done about it.
Feral cats all cats carry toxoplasmosis, which are really detrimental to sheep in particular, but also other livestock. So for farmers, feral cats are a real problem. And they've been controlling cats and continue to control cats on their land. And then In council reserves and dockland, etc., feral cats are a problem because they impact our biodiversity, and they have huge impacts on our biodiversity in those places where we're trying to bring our native birds and weta and lizards, etc., back. And we're doing lots of trapping of other predators, and feral cats can often undermine the work we're doing with that trapping.
She uses Stewart Island as an example.
On Stewart Island, for example, feral cats are the major problem. So if we removed feral cats from Rakiura, then we would be able to return kakapo there. And so feral cats are an apex predator. Nothing else controls them. So as humans, we need to control them to enable our native species to thrive. So that's happening. There's a lot of work in other areas where feral cats are being controlled, and depending on the proximity to urban areas or other owned cats will depend on how they're doing that control.
Now, the government's current Predator-Free 2050 program aims to eradicate all invasive marsupial and mammalian predators from New Zealand by the year 2050. It focuses on three main predators, possums, rats and stoats, which includes ferrets and weasels. However, there has always been pushback against including feral cats in the plan due to the fears of cat owners. Morgan speaks about why she thinks the government has not included cats in the policy.
So we talk about cats and what we do because we're not linked to the government 2050 mandate, but what they've done with the three main predators, the reason that they didn't include cats is because it's too highly emotive. So we need to kind of get people on board and supportive of the other three, and then quickly people realise that cats are undermining all the work they're doing, and they go, oh, now we need to talk about cats, and how do we do that? But I think mandating that from the top down won't work because you get the emotion before you get the reasonable conversation. So I think in some ways it's smart that they haven't included it because people would automatically get their back up and hate the whole vision.
Morgan thinks we need more conversation about responsible cat ownership before feral cats are included in Predator-Free 2050.
I think partly because cats are the only predator that is also a common pet and a well-loved pet in New Zealand. So I think we need a bit more conversation around responsible cat ownership, etc., before cats will be added into the target species for Predator-Free. They're definitely targeted in areas around the country where you can be sure that the cats are feral and they're not domesticated and owned by someone. So that is part of the problem here, is it can be really hard to determine what an owned cat is versus a feral cat out in the bush. And so there's a lot of advocates calling for compulsory microchipping of cats, and that would help us identify what cats were a owned domestic cat and what cats were feral. And so it keeps the domestic cats safe too. It would mean in areas with high ecological value that are near urban areas, we could actually trap cats in those areas as well if we were able to determine what was an owned cat and what wasn't.
Another contributing issue which ties into responsible cat ownership is the dumping of cats, as highlighted by Alan Wild.
Just last year, my wife was coming back from Martinborough and happened to see a big black patch in the middle of the road and slowed down, wondering just what it was. And just as she got near it, it exploded and it turned out to be about half a dozen or eight black kittens that raced to the side of the road. And on the side of the road was a cardboard box where these kittens had just been dumped by some inconsiderate owner to fend for themselves. Now, it might be that they'd die out. It might be that one or two survive. But whatever happens, it's not going to be a good look for the native birds in the area.
I asked Jessie Morgan about these concerns.
Dumping cats is a real problem, and people, I think they just get desperate. They think, my cat's had this litter of kittens, I can't find anyone that wants them. And, you know, they may take them to some cat advocacy organisations that may be overwhelmed with cats and so therefore not able to take them too. And so they get left in a real desperate position, and so they end up releasing them into the wild thinking they'll have a better life, which is false because they often have these horrible lives of not enough food and disease and injury, etc. So we need to get better, and I think regional councils need to support the cat organisations better so that we kind of need a cat amnesty, that you can just drop the cats off on the front door of the organisation and say, we've got these cats and we want them to be looked after and properly. And the cat organisations need better support to enable them to do that. And then they can make an assessment if those cats can be suitably rehomed or whether they are too feral and need to be euthanised. And we need to better support people at doing that and not have the value judgment around them having these extra cats. We also, for responsible cat ownership, we also need to support people getting their cats de-sexed and microchipped. And we've been talking a lot recently about advocating for centralised legislation that makes it compulsory to de-sex and microchip owned cats. And we've also been talking to a lot of cat owners themselves, and increasingly people are keeping the cats inside because it keeps the wildlife safe and it enables you to enjoy wildlife in your back garden, but it also keeps the cats happy and healthy at home.
Morgan elaborates on the idea of normalising keeping cats indoors as they do overseas.
And it's good to normalise keeping cats inside, because overseas that's the norm, because there are predators that impact on them. So you keep them in because they get killed if you let them out. And so we're quite strange and, well, you know, unusual in New Zealand in that we've all grown up with our cats roaming, and we just need to have that conversation and say, oh, that's actually, you know, no other of our pets are allowed to roam at will. Our chickens aren't allowed to roam at will, and dogs aren't. And so we need to do some stuff around cats, and normalising keeping them at home is a good start.
That was Jessie Morgan from Predator Free NZ, and my granddad, bird lover and feral cat trapper, Alan Wild. You can listen in tomorrow when James Tapp will speak to the Opportunities Party and see if, in Gareth Morgan's absence, they still have such a firm stance on cats.
In a way, all voting is tactical.